Genesis, as I say, is one of 20 facilities we have around the country, and each house from between 25 and some of them up to 70 people. And the amazing thing about our ministry is we don't charge to house these people for 8 to 10 months. And how do we do that? We trust God to supply our every need. And so, you know, unawares to the people that come through the program, and myself included, 33 years ago, I found myself, you know, in an experiment of kingdom living, where we were just trusting, you know, where Jesus was Lord, and we were going to trust him. If we didn't have it, and if he didn't provide it, we just didn't have it. And many times we did without, but God has blessed our ministry across the country over many years. And, you know, we've seen all these places open up, and they're all sustained by God. You know, we've never closed a place. We have 3 in Arkansas, 2 in Tennessee, no, 2 in Kentucky, 1 in Tennessee, 2 here in Alabama. So this model that we have of trusting God to supply the needs has put us in a place where we're experiencing freedom from relying on the world system. You know, we're not doomsday preppers or anything like that, but we're just not all that concerned with what's going on outside there. The people that come to us, for the first 2 months, they don't even get to make phone calls. They just can write to their families. And what we say is they're kind of on a retreat to seek the Lord. They came in and they know that their life was a wreck, so they're looking for something new, and we tell them it's Jesus. We tell them to read the Gospels, start off there, and start to look for people in the Gospels that Jesus was relating to, and see if you can plug yourself in. You know, we all can. And then after 2 months, they get to call home. I asked the founder of our ministry, he's gone to be with the Lord 10 years ago, but I asked him one time, when I was on staff, I said, why do we make them wait 2 months to make phone calls? He said, well, you know, we get these people saved and they fall in love with Jesus, and the first thing they want to do is call their families and say, I forgive you for all the things you did to me. And if we make them wait 2 months, likely they'll call and say, please forgive me for all the things I've done to you. And so that was probably something the Lord gave him. He seemed like a very wise man, but he was very in tune with the Spirit of God. So, you know, as I say, we just have a confidence that we're doing what's right, you know, that God is behind what we're doing because of the way things have gone for us. You know, he's prospered every move that we've made, and we don't get big-headed, you know. Kim and I don't get paid. None of the other people that are on staff get paid. We all just rely on God. And throughout my time in the ministry, when I used to do painting when I was a little bit younger, some, you know, buildings like this, apartment buildings, I painted a college in Fort Lauderdale. And when I had a big need, God supplied me a big paint job. Nowadays, now that I'm getting a little long in the tooth and white and skinny on the head, when I have a big need, God just sends me big money. But like I said before, if God doesn't send it, we don't have it, and we make do with what we have. So in the second phase of the program, it's called trainee, and they're allowed to make phone calls a couple a week, 2 out, 1 in, 3 phone calls, only to family. And that goes on for the next 2 months. When they get these little bit more privileges, they also get some more responsibilities. And that's kind of the trend in the program, is that with responsibility comes a little more privilege. And in the fourth month, they're scheduled for a weekend home with their family, and they would take a counselor with them on their first weekend. And that's kind of as a guide to the resident, because he's been kind of isolated for the last 4 months. And we know that they're going to see things. They're going to start seeing things differently. The world hasn't changed, but they have. And so we want to have a guide with them. And also, it gives us, you know, our counselor reports back to us and tells us about the situation at home, you know, if it's a safe place for them to be. You know, sometimes families still drink, you know, they're not saved. And that, you know, so we want to make sure that they're going someplace where it wouldn't cause them to stumble. Then in the last phase of the residential program is called trainee counselor. Bobby, our guitar player, he's a trainee counselor. And at that point, they're giving back to the others. There's always new people coming in, and there's people going through the program. There's people graduating and leaving, and there's people that go on and stay for staff training as well. So at that last phase, they counsel a resident every day for about an hour or 4 days a week. And they're called to do some administrative duties. They answer the telephone, they take messages for the staff, and they kind of supervise what's going on there. So the model is teaching responsibility, and, you know, I mean, most of them want the privileges, they don't want the responsibilities. We haven't quite gotten them to that point where they're just excited, so excited about the privilege to do, you know, like me and Kim, we're just so in love with Jesus that we're excited about doing what we do. And we do the same, you know, the guy that took over for the founder, he says we do the same thing every day. And I've been doing it for 33 years, but it's still exciting because we're doing it with different people. But we're just telling them about Jesus. We're just telling them to fall in love with Jesus. And in addition to that 8 to 10 month program, we have a 1 year staff training program. And during that time, like Bobby, our percussionist there, he's an assistant counselor. He's been with us before, but he came back about 8 months ago, I guess. How long you been back, Bob? 9 months? Okay. And but he learned, you know, Peter said, where else can we go, Lord? You alone have the words of life, you know. And so he's back seeking the Lord with us. And Jeremiah is a graduate staff member. Our worship leader is Adrienne's about to get married next month. The Lord brought somebody into her life who's also a staff member with us. And so that's going to be a fun time. But, you know, we just have a great time in the Lord, and the people that are there, not so much. You know, they're kind of in the wine press. But one day they'll recognize this as probably the best time in their life. So I'm gonna cut it short here. I'm gonna call up our first testimony. She's a little nervous. But look here, you got this, so if your knees are shaking, they can't tell. You just stay like this. Crystal, come on up, Crystal.
God is good. All the time. Hi, my name is Crystal Barnett. I'm from Winfield, Alabama. I was born to Patsy and Tim Barnett in Westland, Michigan. We moved down here when I was 5 years old and lived in Winfield ever since. I've always had issues with not feeling like I'm enough, you know, always needing attention, couldn't find attention because my dad was an over-the-road driver. He was never home. And my mom, she was an awesome mom, don't get me wrong, but she was playing both my mom and my dad when all I needed was a dad. I went to church when I was younger. I was got saved and baptized when I was 13 years old. Then we moved back to Michigan, where I started my freshman year. Started hanging out with the wrong crowd. Started doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Still going to church at this time, but only when I felt like it. Well, I ended up skipping school a lot, and my mom moved me back down here. Praise the Lord for it. Finally passed the ninth grade when I got to down here. I failed the ninth grade twice when I was up there. I dropped out in 10th grade. I got my GED several years later, but I had my first child when I was 17 years old. Went through a little bit of postpartum depression, ended up moving to Massachusetts where I got pregnant with my daughter, who is now 17 years old, and the only one I actually have a relationship with right now, but God's restoring my other relationships with my other two sons. Moved back down here when my daughter was about 6 months old. Divorced her dad. Got into another relationship with somebody else. My high school sweetheart, thought he was just amazing. Was with him for about 2 years. The pattern was I kept jumping into relationship after relationship after relationship, trying to fill that hole inside of me that I couldn't fill. And every relationship ended up getting worse and worse and worse. My first husband, he was abusive, physically, emotionally, mentally. Divorced him, not only because of that, but because he wasn't very supportive. Then after me and my, well, the love of my life, so I thought at the time, we broke up. I jumped into another relationship with my youngest son's dad, and we got married. Ended up starting to mess in with some more drugs, smoking marijuana, and dabbing into methamphetamine at that time. Quit, divorced him. My kids were taken away from me in 2011. That's when everything started spiraling out of control because I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. And so I started taking anything I could get my hands on. I went to the doctor. I tried to take things that were not, you know, narcotics that I could take that I wouldn't get addicted to because obviously I had an addictive personality. Well, nothing seemed to be working. So then she started pushing Norcos and Xanax on me. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this, but I'm going to take it as prescribed. If I take it as prescribed, no harm in it. Oh, was I mistaken? I would take more Xanax than I possibly should even be able to stand up here and actually be able to talk to you right now because I would take so many that I would fall asleep eating a bowl of cereal just sitting there. I got with this, I don't want to call him a man because he's not a man. He's a boy in a man's body. I was with this man for about 6 years. Now, I really did think he was the love of my life. Boy, was I wrong. I helped him get his son from his mother that was very negligent to protect him from what she was doing to him. And a lot of things had happened. He was abusing his child. DHR got called. I took the blame because I was coming down off a 3-day bender and took my nighttime medicine and I was half asleep when I got questioned. So I pleaded guilty to something I did not do. I was facing a 20-year sentence. So I cried out to the Lord. I was like, Lord, you gotta help me. You gotta help me. I don't know what to do. I still didn't get an answer at that time. So I started really getting into methamphetamine. Like it was an everyday thing. I had to have it. I had to have it or I couldn't function. Well, I kept failing my drug test with my CCP officer. Well, this last one that I failed, he sent me to jail. I got on my knees and I started praying to God. I was like, God, please help me. Please just help me with this. I can't stop doing this on my own. I can't do this on my own. I'm not strong enough. So he sent me to a rehab facility in Jasper. I'm not going to name the name. But I was there for 4.5 months. I came home for my first pass. I went back. And they, of course, they do a drug test there. So they say I failed my drug test. So I got kicked out of the program. But before that, I found out my grandmother had COVID. And she had COPD, and she wasn't doing too well. So I got on my knees, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you're not going to heal my grandmother from COVID, if you're going to take her, Lord, can you please just make a way for me to be home to see her before she passes away? I said, Lord, I prayed just about every day because I was not happy at this other place because I was asking him, Lord, could you please just get me out of here? I don't care how you have to do it. Just get me out of here. Put me somewhere where I can get closer to you and learn more about you. I got kicked out of that place August 24th. I was home maybe 30 minutes when I seen my grandmother take her last breath. I got to go to her funeral that Saturday, but because I had failed that drug test, they said I failed at the other place. I ended up having to go serve 90 days in jail. But I ended up taking 2 hair follicle tests and a urine sample before I even got arrested to go for that 3 months, and it all came back negative. So that was how I was able to get to Genesis, and I'm grateful to be at Genesis today. Because not only have I learned who I am in Christ there, I've had so many blessings upon blessings. I don't get any help from my family. They're not well off. I don't have much support. So everything that I get, I have to rely on Jesus. I have to. I mean, it still gives me chills just thinking about this. I had prayed for a pair of tennis shoes because my tennis shoes kept falling apart. And me and one of my sisters there, we were very specific about this shoe. A size 7.5. I didn't care if it was tie-dye or splattered paint. The next day, I got a pair of 7.5 shoes that were tie-dye. Very next day, no one knew what we prayed for. And I know smoking's bad, and I need to give it up, but the Lord knows. He knows my heart, and I've prayed, and I'll tell him, Lord, I know I don't need it, but I sure would like it. So I had to pray for me a box of tubes one day. And let me tell you, Jesus is quicker than Amazon, because they were there the next day, and no one knew that I had prayed for them. So when I tell you that Jesus answers prayers, and he's with you no matter where you're at or what you're going through, and he will get you through any situation you're in, he will get you through it. You just got to stand firm and believe in him. And really mean it. Like, really give him your all. Because he will meet you right where you're at. Thank you.
Bobby Ramsey, yeah. God is good. I knew I could count on you. All right. But seriously, I was told to give my testimony. A little bit of background, I guess. I was in an average family. Probably a little better off than most, I guess. My dad had a small business, was making $100,000 a year. Completely unexpected, and by accident, he was shot in the back and was paralyzed from the waist down. He had chronic pain and all that. And that's when everything kind of changed. So my mother and father started arguing a lot, pretty soon they got divorced, and it wasn't because my father was in a wheelchair necessarily, but I was living with my father in the last 5 years before I ended up in Genesis, and can say that I understand what my mother was going through, and I was definitely proclaimed as an atheist before I went to Genesis. Definitely. I started to notice that that a lot of the people I knew that at least feared God and casual way, had they had somewhat better lives. I don't know exactly that part, but it was just some thoughts that I had going on. Just some uncertainties, and uncertainties are okay. You know, we're only meant to know what we need to know at the time. And if that, you know, like, sweeping the nation, sweeping the world, like the devil in Job, you know, he roams the earth to and fro, you know what I mean? Like, talking about the pursuit of a good time, it seems really harmless. But for me, it started off as, you know, hanging out with friends, you know, just some weed and some this and that. But it ended up as definitely, this maybe y'all have heard of it, meth, right? You know, right? So I got arrested because I was in possession of some actual, you know, just some weed stuff, you know. But it was a symptom of the symptom of the real reckless lifestyle I was living. And I got extremely lucky, extremely lucky. I mean, the stuff I was doing. And then I ended up getting pulled over at the right time to get in trouble for just the bare minimum of stuff that, anyway, ended up in the court system. And I had to go to Indian Rivers. And I was doing some of the worst things that you could do in the worst way, you know. Involved needles. Anyway, so I knew that I needed some help, and I had to go to Indian Rivers. Maybe you guys have heard of it. It's a state-funded mental health facility in Tuscaloosa, and I just, I was looking for a job at the same time, and so I found this job, and I couldn't keep jobs at the time, and I got suspended from it, but I was trying to get into this rehab also, and just whichever one happened first. Well, I mean, I needed much more than a rehab, but so I ended up going to my boss's where she works. She introduced me to the pastor there, and I was real sketchy looking, but they welcomed me with open arms. It was a Baptist church too, it's an 8-month program, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of intimidating, especially someone who's, you know, thinks that they just need to have the next good time, you know, like, whoa, 8 months, that's, you know, like, as I was trying to get into rehabs, this free program, because I called and I was like, 8 months, that's a long time. And then I didn't call for a while, and I was like, well, I'm still trying to get into a rehab. And whenever that didn't work, because they needed some paperwork, or they needed a COVID test, or they needed me to do a lot of stuff. And the only thing I was capable of doing at the time was, well, you just imagine. I mean, I called Genesis, and I was supposed to be going to color code and everything, and I had been going for a little bit, but I knew that I needed to go somewhere. Y'all need to put me somewhere, like, you know what I mean, like anywhere. Like I was ready for jail at that point. And I found out that Genesis had talked to my color code officer. I mean, like, they had already kind of started doing some of the groundwork. That name Gerald, if y'all remember hearing that name Gerald, yeah, like they were just waiting for me to go through court. And I remember thinking, and I still was very kind of atheist-ish, you know, thinking like people that I felt like, and I joked that people that know God are like my lawyer right now or something like that. And as soon as I went to court and got it all like, you know, settled before the judge, I was able to go to Genesis. And let me say some good things about Genesis. I've talked a lot about my past, but Genesis is it's been really, really something else, man. Like for those last 2 months, you really do a lot of stuff, and I've tried to figure out what exactly it's like. I mean, because you have to wake up at 6 in the morning, and you have some off time, of course, but you have to wake up at 6 in the morning, and you're accountable for a bunch of other people with bad attitudes. and they don't want to listen to you, and they think they know better, and then you realize, oh, man, I thought I knew better, too. So how am I going to talk to these people? Because I don't know, if they're half as good as at arguing as I was. Well, I mean, the best thing to do is just put them on paper, you know, honestly, because you write out of the Bible when you get in trouble, you know. So when you get in trouble, it takes you to your word, you know. And I try to figure out what having to wake up at 6 in the morning and be awake all the time and be accountable for all these different people until usually 10:15 at night. And you get in trouble if you go to sleep. Your time on how long you shower. And I figured it out that I would have never been able to do that before, but it's almost like having children. I mean, and you know, a lot of you have kids, and I'm assuming most of you, or not all of you, have been kids at some point. I mean, you know, so I would have never been able to be accountable for other people before I went to Genesis. And yeah, we have this. We have to have a job in the program, and I worked in the kitchen. And anyone who goes through the Genesis kitchen, you end up being able to make a mean meatloaf. And you can serve, you know, like 20, 25 people, and you have to have it down to the serving, you know. And it'll teach you things that, the actual real life requires. I mean, if you make food for a family, you know, you got a lot of, there's a lot of margin for error, and no one's going to, you know, you're not going to get in trouble for it. So, I mean, everything that Genesis makes you well equipped for, it's just completely, it's just way, like, it's more than what you would, more than what I would need to be able to do in the outside world. I mean, there's, you got to keep up with times. I mean, I do my laundry and the laundry of everyone who stays in my room with me. I was terrible at that before. I was terrible at that. I mean, and it's true, man. Like, we pray for stuff, and you know, stuff happens. We put it on a board, you know. But most of the time, we talk about what we're thankful for, because honestly, when you get to the point where you're not craving the next good time, you realize that you really just don't need as much as you really just don't need that much, really. I mean, I'm trying to quit smoking. I haven't smoked a cigarette today. I didn't smoke one yesterday. I've quit for 2 weeks a little while ago, but maybe this time it'll actually stick. God is good, and they fast tracked me to the music part. I cried out to God. I asked God. I was talking to God, and I've only seen two shooting stars. I've only seen a shooting star twice in my life, and that was one of the times. It was on that porch at Genesis, and I saw it. You know, I wondered if, should I stay or should I go? And honestly, you know, you can leave at any time. You can leave it. You're free to go at any time. I was at a crossroads with wanting to leave or wanting to stay, I don't know if you really have to cry out to God. I feel blessed because I feel like maybe I'm lucky or something. But the sun broke through the clouds on a cloudy day, and you know, I could be buying really, you know, into that really far. But I mean, with the way things have been, why would I? You know, why would I? Shooting stars. Sun breaking through the clouds. I mean, other things I wish I'd wrote down, it's great, and I feel like I have a family there. I didn't feel like I belonged at first, so whenever people come in, new people, I try to make them feel, you know, like, if they feel like I've felt, then they probably feel like, you know, like a freak or something, you know, weird. Like, I definitely felt selfish and afraid, and and the atmosphere and the of everything that of what they you know, of the it all just makes you want to pour into. Imagine a cup that's being poured into and it's overflowing, and you're pouring into other cups from that overflow. And I don't, they could only get it, it could only come from God, because, I mean, the elders, we call them sometimes, I don't know, they gave us a Christmas, they do these dinners, they're always in a good mood, telling us, you know, it's gonna be a great day, you know, and what do you know, it's, you know, it is a great day, you know. And it's got to be God, because, I mean, they don't get paid. And, I mean, glory to God and, you know, and praise Jesus. But I know what I would be doing if it wasn't for the last 8 months, last 7 months of my life. I know what I'd be doing. And I'd rather know. Anyway. So praise God, I guess I could have finished this strong, but you know, whatever, you know. Yeah.
Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. So, if you've lived a crazy type lifestyle, you know what comes with it. I lived that. I was in Philadelphia living it, right there on the Philadelphia, New Jersey borderline. So, I kept trying to get help, because I didn't want to live the way I was living. And I went to a couple rehabs, couple recovery houses, you know, back and forth jail, you know, what that life brings. And I kept calling out to the Lord. And I wanted to go to the mountains. So in Pennsylvania, there's what's called the Poconos. And I wanted to go to the Poconos because I swore if I just got away from Philadelphia, if I just got to the mountains, everything will be okay. So I'm calling out for help for years and years and years. And one day I'm at work and it just hits me like, you'll never change. Because I kept trying to change, and it just hit me, you'll never change. So that's when I decided to call one of my dad's friends. And he gave me a couple numbers. He gave me a number to Georgia. And a number to Alabama. So I called the number in Georgia, and they said they were full, and they gave me some numbers to Kentucky. So I called Kentucky, and they said they had a spot for me. Call them back in a couple hours. Well, I called back in a couple hours, and 2 days later, I'm on a bus to the mission in Kentucky. So going through that program, kind of like how Bobby was saying, if you get in trouble, you go to the Bible. You have to write something out of the Bible depending on your situation. Disobeying authority would be a Romans 13. Not being able to control your tongue would be a James 3. So I first get there, and then when you're first calling out for help and people are showing you the love of Jesus, you kind of think, oh, this is how it should be. I should be pampered, you know, with that kind of mindset. People are pampering me. Yes, I should be pampered. So I had that mindset, and we went to this church, and they had a buffet line, and I just started throwing all this food on my plate. Like, I get to eat a lot of food. I was happy. I ended up getting in trouble for that, but I couldn't see why that was a problem. Why am I getting in trouble for eating all these cakes? Why? And then somebody took the time to break it down to me that if you eat all these cakes, what are you leaving for everybody else behind you? So just take a little bit at a time, let everybody go through, and if there's enough for everybody, then you can get seconds. So over time, and what this program teaches you, because this program is based on Jesus Christ, you know, we're a faith-based program, it teaches you to stop putting yourself first and start putting others first. So over time, I've started to learn to put others first. And you also learn, so we sit Monday through Friday, about 5.5 hours of Bible study, broken down into periods and classes, and we have different teachers, and when you get up high enough in the program, you start teaching. So we go a lot of different places in the Bible. One teacher might come from James. One teacher might come from Revelation. One teacher might come from Proverbs. You might come from Matthew. So you're getting a lot. You're sitting up under the word a lot. So you're getting a lot of Bible knowledge in your head, a lot of different Bible stories, Proverbs, a lot of rules, I guess you would say. But you're in the house with a whole bunch of different personalities, all with different backgrounds. And the great part is you learn how to apply what you've been reading. So it's not just head knowledge, but you're actually having to put it into play. If you have aught with your brother, go to him before you leave your sacrifice. And then the feeling of not having to walk in condemnation is so great. So it gives us a spirit where we have conviction but not condemnation, so we don't have to walk around with our heads down, because the mission is a free program, but you got to earn your way in there. You got to earn your way in there. When you hit rock bottom, and then you hit rock bottom, and then you hit rock bottom, and then for a lot of us, death would be better. There's a place that's willing to clothe you, feed you, take care of you, be patient with you, and all they ask you to do is seek Jesus Christ for the answer to your problems. And sometimes it can catch you a little off guard, like, how can you say you love me and you don't even know me? Because that's the way I love you, brother. I love you, brother. How can you say you love me? You don't even know me. But then you start reading the word. You love because God loved, and for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And how the gentleman up here was singing the song, and when he first came on, someone, how could a God love us? How could he die for us? So I thank God for his grace and mercy, but because of his grace and mercy that he showed on the cross, and then 2,000 years later, we're able to show grace and mercy to other people, because the only reason we're even able to be here tonight is because people showed grace and mercy to us, because somebody showed grace and mercy to them. So now it's our turn to show grace and mercy to other people. And walking in that new creation, behold, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And having the faith of a mustard seed, you just have to believe you can be a new creation. You just have to believe you can be a new creation. You have to believe that he died for your sins. You have to believe that he's the final sacrifice. And like Bobby was saying, the clouds open and life just changes. I remember when I had the experience, he told me I didn't have to live the same way I used to anymore. And I haven't turned back since. And I've been having, I kind of was talking to somebody about it earlier, but I've been having like dreams of John the Baptist lately. Because I'm almost in the mission 3 years. I went from Philadelphia to Kentucky to New Jersey, not Alabama, in the past 3 years, and it's been such a great adventure. So my time in Alabama will be ending soon, and I'll be heading back to Jersey. And I was wondering, what am I going to do when I go back home? Because I've been in the mission 3 years, I don't have a job, you know. I'm 38 years old, but my parents said I can stay, live with them until I get back on my feet. So, and I don't have a car, so I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to get a job? I don't want to stay in my parents too long, you know, overstay my welcome, because it says something like that in one of the Proverbs. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So he said, there's a difference between left and right decisions and right and wrong decisions. Left and right decisions are more like, am I going to work over here or work over here? Right and wrong decisions are, am I going to work here and be a good example and show the love of Christ, or am I going to work here and not be a good example, not show the love of Christ? So he said, wherever you go, no matter what you do, as long as you show the love of Christ, you'll be fine. And that takes a lot of pressure off. That takes a whole lot of pressure off. But, you know, John the Baptist kept preaching, repent, repent, repent. And all I could think of is just going back and telling the good news, you know. That's what Bobby said, we're always happy because of where we came from. We don't deserve to be where we're at. So how could you not smile every day? How could you not tell people, I know somebody that can save you because he saved me. And I believe that's an important part of our testimony, because we've all been through the gutter. But we came to show Jesus, and we came to show Jesus saves, and that's what we teach. Jesus saves. We can't save you, but we can show you the one who can. So that's what we continue to do. That's what's been done before we got to Genesis, before, well, Mission Teens, where Genesis is a branch of Mission Teens. That's the motto, a place for the desperate. A lot of us have burned so many bridges, nowhere to go, nowhere to turn to, yet there's a place with open arms. And they teach us what the love of Jesus is, that he loves everybody. All you have to do is believe. And once you start believing and you start praying, he starts showing you his glory. He starts showing you he's real, as Crystal was saying with her prayers. He's not just a God just to hear, you can have this, you can have this, but so his glory can be shown. He saves us so his glory can be shown. I was reading in Acts 9 about Lydia, or Tabitha, I mean, they called her Dorcas, the one that was making the robes. She died, but then Peter came and told her to get back up, and she rose from the dead. And I was thinking of all the other times people have risen from the dead. We know Jesus, we know Lazarus, but why? And then I come to realize it's so God's glory can be shown. People got healed from blindness so God's glory can be shown. The deaf got made to hear so God's glory can be shown. So he didn't just save me for no reason, so God's glory can be shown. Because a couple years ago, there's no way I thought I'd be up talking about Jesus Christ. There's no way. I would have thought you would have had to go to Bible college or something. Or you would have had to live a life just good your whole life. And like the other gentleman that was playing the guitar, how he was saying how he had his lifestyle, but God. And that's exactly what it is, but God. But God for any one of us. And I'm going to continue to tell people, but God. So I'm excited about this Christian walk. It's really cool. And I'm glad you guys had us out tonight. Thank you.